All right, tonight's series is basically about guy-girl relationships, dating, whatnot. And so just start off with, we've got some pictures of me and my lovely bride, Tina. She invited me to prom her senior year, 92. I'm going to be a little bit dated there. That's the front yard at her house, and this is the backyard of my house. So we went to prom the following year at my school. So, yes, I married an older woman. She graduated a year ahead of me. What do you think? It looks kind of dated, don't you think? Her hair is kind of funky. Yeah, I don't know what's with the pink bow tie, but it matched her dress, so I had to do it. Had to do it. Oh, yeah, it's good, right? Yeah. So, guys, you got to know that. You want to be cool? You match the color of your tie to whatever she's wearing, okay? It's good stuff. If you don't know, black is always a safe bet, okay? All right, would you guys pray with me, and then we're going to jump into our topic, all right? God, we just want to ask for your help tonight. Would you hang with us, and would you teach us how to have healthy relationships with the opposite sex? God, would you help us have good, healthy friendships and even good dating relationships? God, would you help us to honor the other people in our lives? God, would you help us to honor the people that we date? And would you help us to respect you and our own body and their body? Would you help us to honor you with our choices? And God, would you help us? Bless our discussion later in our life groups, and pray that you would help us connect with you and with each other and help us to honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so would you guys agree that sometimes it seems like guys and girls are from different planets? That sometimes guys are just like, I have no idea what these girls are thinking. This is just, I don't understand. And sometimes the girls are like, guys are so dumb. I don't, what in the world is going on? Yeah, so sometimes it feels like that. And so tonight's topic is like, guys are from Mars and girls are from Venus, kind of like we're from two different planets. So I wanted to share with you a little quick illustration about some of the differences between guys and girls. There's a funny book out called Guys Are Waffles and Girls Are Spaghetti. And they're actually talking about your brain. That a guy has more of a grid. More logical, more compartmentalized, and individual ideas fit in like each little waffle space. Okay? There's not a lot of overlap, not a lot of connection between them. So a guy can be playing video games and all he's doing is just playing video games. He could be eating dinner and all he's doing is just having dinner. And the girl's like, well, what are you thinking? I'm chewing. Not a lot else going on there, okay? Girls are like spaghetti, like a big, crazy plate of spaghetti. Their brain is all interconnected and overlapping and twisted and winding. And everything's related to something else, and everything's personal and important. And oftentimes, because their brains work that way, a lot of times they're better at trivia because they can pull up all this information and have this, all this other stuff going on, right? Sometimes they have a hard time making decisions because it's not compartmentalized and they can't necessarily quickly narrow it down to a logical choice. There's so many options to consider, right? So I'm hoping that we can learn to appreciate some of our differences and laugh together at some of our differences. But would you agree or disagree that guys are like waffles and girls are like spaghetti? What do you think? It kind of fits? Kind of fits. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, for example, let's give you some examples from the book, okay? The differences between guys and girls. Guys, they can take a trip anywhere for any amount of time, and it only requires one bag. Okay? Just one bag. Guys can sit quietly or play a game with a friend for hours without ever thinking, he must be mad at me. Okay? Guys, if someone shows up at a party in the same exact outfit as you, all of a sudden you're best buddies. And the girls are having a cat fight down the hallway. Yeah, I don't know. Guys, no one expects us to know the names of more than five colors. Okay. Guys, we don't have to shave anywhere below the neck. That's kind of nice. Guys, a few loud burps or other noises are generally expected and tolerated by most people. Okay? Phone conversations can be done in under 30 seconds. Our bathroom lines are 99% shorter. And a guy can pee standing up anywhere on planet Earth. Okay, there you go. All right, you ready for the ladies? All right, ladies. You'll never regret piercing your ears. But the guys might. No one can ever say to you, stop acting like a girl. You actually get extra credit points for watching sports. If you're a bad athlete, you don't necessarily question your worth as a human being. You can tell your friends you love them without having to add man at the end. I love you, man. You can remove stickers and open wrapped items without a pocket knife. You can have a conversation without ever completing a sentence. Maybe it's just intuition. You just know what the other person's thinking or something. Yeah, I don't know. And you don't have to have a reason to shop. So, there you go. All right, so here's the bottom line, all right? That we've got male and female differences. And that, you know what? God made us different intentionally. You might wonder why the opposite gender doesn't respond or react or think like you. But just about the time you think you have them figured out, you realize that you don't, right? So that's your fill-in. And as a kid, you might have thought that the opposite sex was gross or weird or had this disease, cooties. All right, so we're going to talk about just being friends first, just having friendships, and then we'll move on to being more than friends. Ooh. Okay, so what does it mean to just be friends, developing healthy friendships with guys and girls? Here are some things that you could learn tonight, okay? You could learn how to become a better communicator. So if you learn to appreciate the spaghetti or the waffle brain going on inside the other person, you might learn to have better communication with them, okay? Guys, I would encourage you, say more. Girls, I would encourage you, maybe say less. Okay? Like, if you guys want to communicate better with each other, guys often don't volunteer a lot of information. Girls often overshare. Just happens, okay? Not trying to be rude to you, just playing some stereotypes. How to build a deeper relationship without romance. So, could you be, like, really tight, close friends with somebody of the opposite sex without dating? I think you can. Yeah. I had some really cool girls that I was friends with, especially in youth group. Women of God, trying to follow God, doing youth group stuff together, not interested in dating them, but I valued their opinion, I respected them, I thought they were neat people, right? And maybe you can have that too. But it's not very common, because once you get close, it's hard, like, I don't know, the culture and friends and everybody kind of pushes you to be more than friends. I think it's okay just to have deep friendships and not have to date them. How each gender responds differently to problems. You might learn how to respect how that works, right? Maybe your mom resolves problems differently than your dad, okay? Or maybe you got a brother or sister in your family, and maybe you can learn to appreciate some of the differences and some of the creativity. For example, we are on our mission trip, and one of the challenges for our team was to get all of our team members from this one platform to this other platform to this other platform using a couple different planks without touching the ground. The ground was like, you know, the sea of sharks. It was interesting to watch the guy and girl differences trying to figure out if the team could work together or not and how they were going to, you know, the guys are just like, here, I'll pick you up and just throw you across to the last platform. And the girls are like, maybe we should have a strategy, you know, and so that we can all get across, because who's going to throw you in the end, right? And they're like, I'll jump. Oh, I'm eaten by sharks. Okay, yeah. So it was, I don't know, how many times did they reset? They reset a lot. And as watching it, as leaders, we're like, just listen to each other. Yeah, okay. Learning to appreciate the difference. How to understand family members better. Hey, what would it be like if you understood your mom better, or understood your dad better, understood your brother or sister better? There might be less fighting in your household, right? And then how to help protect each other. Because sometimes we can hurt each other's feelings, and we can place each other at harm in our friendships. So learning to respect and trust one another and not violate the differences that we have, okay? All right, those are some quick tips on that. So now we're going to move to more than friends. Ooh. So I want to give you some principles that aren't in your book. But on the side where I've got this list, go ahead and write dating principles. Number it 1 to 13. It's like a baker's dozen. And then the first one's going to be love. I know it feels a little bit like school, you're taking notes, but it's good stuff. So here we go. All right, here's the first one. If you want to know, what does the Bible have to say about dating? Well, it doesn't really use the word dating in the Bible. but it has a lot to say about relationships. So here's the first one, the principle of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy or boast. That's in 1 Corinthians. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That's in Romans 13. All right, here's the next one, the principle of friendship. A friend loves at all times through thick and thin. Be cautious in friendships, is Proverbs 12. And then bad company corrupts good character, and that's 1 Corinthians. So as you look for a person to date or to go out with, you're going to look for people that you could have, you know, has good character, that you would pick someone who would be a good friend, right? All right, principle of priorities. This one often gets messed up in teenagers' lives. Because a guy or a girl can take the place of everything else in their life. You find that special someone, and then all you want to do is be with that special someone all the time, and your priorities get shifted. So keep your priorities straight and love God first, not your boyfriend or girlfriend first. This goes for marriages, too. You know, God asked me to love him before I'm supposed to love my wife, Tina, because that will keep me in balance. If God is fulfilling my needs first, and I'm loving God first, I can love my wife better. Learn that young, as in a dating relationship, love God first. Because that, check this out, this is going to sound weird. It's attractive. It's attractive. You want to look attractive, I know, on the outside. But you want to look attractive on the inside, love God first. And other people will be drawn to you. Because it's neat, it's cool, and it keeps you centered. And then love people second, right? Principle number four is the principle of honor. Honor God with your body in 1 Corinthians 6. Honor your parents, Ephesians 6. And then honor one another above yourself in Romans 12. The principle of honor. That's a good one. All right, so let's keep going. The principle of self-control. Learn to control your body. And I'm specifically talking about physical intimacy with somebody of the opposite sex. Kissing, hugging, holding hands, making out, all that stuff, all the way up to sexual activity, okay? Learn to control your body. Check this out. You guys control your body all the time, okay? Ever had to go to the bathroom really bad and you had to hold it because you're in the car and there's no gas station, okay? You learn to control your physical desire to go to the bathroom, right? You ever get hungry, super hungry, mega hungry, and you're not in a position where you can actually eat yet, okay? Maybe you're not home, or maybe there's no food in the house, or maybe, again, you're stuck in the car with no snacks. Bummer for you. But you learn to wait, right? You learn to control your appetites. So just like that, learn to control your sexual appetite as well. All right, principle of timing. Do not awaken love until the time is right, is in Song of Solomon. And then Ecclesiastes has got a great section about the time for everything, a time to embrace and a time to refrain. Let me give you an example. If you're in a youth group, it's a time to refrain, yo. Okay? I don't want you kissing and hugging and making out and sneaking off, going down the lobby to whatever to hang out with your significant other, or on a trip, or in the van on the way to ice camp, or, you know, sneaking off at Get Air and making out in the foam pit. I don't know what you're going to do. That sounds stupid. Like, people are going to land on you. Okay. But you get my point, right? I lost my point. It's a time to refrain. Thank you, at youth group. Okay? Does that mean you can never kiss somebody until you're married? No. But I would say a kiss is a special thing, and so is holding hands, and so is a hug, and make sure you reserve those for the right time, okay? All right, be honest. I don't know about you, but at my school, like, people just did inappropriate physical affection all the time at my school, okay? I had a locker next to a girl who would make out with her boyfriend every morning before first period, and I'm like, they're, like, right here. I'm like, really? Yeah, really? Yeah, I'm like, it's stupid, right? Okay, so here's the next one, the principle of sexuality. The Bible says that your body is a temple, which means it's special, it's sacred, it's holy. So don't just go sharing your body with other people without any commitment to it. And you know what God says? If you want to do that, then you need to make this commitment. The commitment is marriage. So flee from sexual immorality, which would be anything that is sexual outside of a marriage relationship. So if you're single, which I'm thinking you all are, then you need to wait and refrain and restrain your desires. Does that mean you can't be attracted to the opposite sex? No. You guys, check this out. You know the animal kingdom, right? You know how God made animals? Like birds. If you take birds, for example, the birds have different coloring on their bodies to attract the opposite sex bird, okay? Or they might be like animals that have like a mating call, right? Or they have a special scent that they give off, right? In the animal world, God designed animals to attract one another, and he's done the same thing with people. Guys, if a girl's physical body is attractive to you, awesome. Supposed to be. He made it that way. OK? Okay? Guys are more visually stimulated. Here's the thing, though. You still have to learn to control that, okay? And not just act on all your impulses. Girls, if you're attracted to a guy physically, awesome. But you have to be careful about acting on that. Does that make sense? And that includes what you think about in your mind. I think it's easy for us to start going down the fantasy road, right? You start fantasizing about the people that you see, right? And chasing after that can be unhealthy. But I want you to get this. The desire for the opposite sex is not wrong. And I think a lot of times the church gets messed up in saying that, wow, if you have some weird tingly feeling, that's sin. It's not, okay? If your hormones start acting up on you and you feel like you don't have a lot of control, that's normal, okay? But I think we can exercise some self-control, and I think you can process that in a good way. The next one is principle of lust. Number 8, don't look lustfully at another. That's like looking at somebody with sexual things in your head. Like, man, I want to kiss with them and make it out with them, and I want to touch them here and here and here and here, and I want to do this with them. All right, that's too far. Okay, that's lust, right? Here's the thing. We're all prone to taking the desire to the temptation level and then going and crossing the line and sinning, right? I want to let you know the desire isn't necessarily wrong, but it's what we do with it and later in your mind. Principle of modesty. Dress in modest clothing. That's a good one. God doesn't want us to be so consumed with our outward appearance. Principle number 10, the principle of partnership. 2 Corinthians says, don't be teamed up with unbelievers, specifically married to them. So I would caution you, if you're dating people that don't know God or don't have a relationship with God, you are tempting yourself and you're going to end up having a difficult time keeping your standards if they don't want to follow God, you know? So in the end, God says, look, marry people that are going the same spiritual direction you are. And I think it's a good rule for dating, too. Principle of marriage, becoming one in marriage, a guy and a girl. A marriage should be honored and kept pure, and then find sexual pleasure in marriage. You're supposed to. That's what God made it to be. That's what it's supposed to. That's the context for it. Number 12, principle of forgiveness. If we confess our sins to God, he will be forgiven. A lot of times relationships get us into trouble and sin, and sometimes we hurt the other person emotionally or physically or just our friendship. We hurt feelings. We need to forgive one another, you know? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's a good one. And sometimes in our relationships, we end up hurting our own friends, like dating each other's ex-boyfriends and girlfriends. We end up hurting feelings and things like that. The last one is the principle of wisdom. Basically, don't be stupid. Make wise choices in your dating and listen to advice. A lot of times, teenagers don't want to listen to advice. They want what they want and they don't care. Okay? I dated a girl for a while that my parents didn't like and for good reason, and I didn't care and I wanted to date her anyway. And it got me in trouble, you know? Accept instruction. Everything is permissible for me. That's interesting. You're allowed, check this out, you're allowed to do whatever you want, but not everything is beneficial. All right, and then the last one, wisdom will keep you safe. Cool. All right, so you got a great list of stuff. Hey, does the Bible talk about dating? Not really. Are there any principles for dating in the Bible? Heck yeah. There's some great stuff, okay? All right, so we're going to move on to two different areas that are big struggles for young people, okay? The first one is thought life. Predominantly, the guys might struggle with thought life maybe more than the girls, but that doesn't mean the girls are exempt. I think girls can wrestle with their own thoughts as well. Here's some good tips about struggling with thought life. For as he thinks is in his heart, so he is. That's in Proverbs. This is a great one. I memorized when I was your age. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind is a good one. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, and then turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. There's some other scripture there that I'm not going to go through. You guys, check this out. Give me your attention real quick. Guys, know this about yourself. You have a visual weakness. God made you to be a visual person. You're stimulated visually. Be very, very careful because the world knows that. Advertisers know that. Bands and music and people, they know this, and so they play to your weakness. So you've got these sexy girls trying to sell stuff. You've got all this, you know, girls in lingerie and bathing suits and pornography and the internet and all this stuff, and movies are made to entice you and to cause you to stumble and to want you to want what they're selling, okay? Now more than ever, it's so easy to find sexual images. Be very, very careful with your phone, with your devices, with your iPod, with the internet, with the computer, with magazines, with movies, with video games. They sneak it in everywhere. And be careful. Guard your minds. Girls, you're not exempt from this. I remember walking through a college dorm room, okay, girls' floor, and they got, like, muscle bodybuilder pictures on the walls. Dudes, like, you know, I know girls can struggle with this stuff too. Be careful what you allow your mind to look at. Here's the thing. It will haunt you later, if not right away. It's addictive, and it will suck you in. Have I struggled with it? Do I struggle with it? Yep. Do your leaders struggle with it? Yep. Does that mean I'm exempt because I'm an adult and I'm a married man? Nope. The enemy wants to jack up our relationships. Guard your mind, you guys. And there's some great things out there. Put a filter on your internet browser. Put restrictions on your phone. Ask your parents to put in a passcode. Do something so that it's not just constantly a temptation for you, you know? All right, God wants you to live a pure life. There you go. All right, so thought life, a tough one. Girls, you can help the guys out. You know how you can help the guys out? By the way that you dress. If you dress provocatively or show a lot of skin or try to show off your body, especially at youth group, we don't need that here, especially here, okay? There's plenty of that out at school, okay? There's plenty of that out at, you know, at the mall or wherever you want to go. Do us a favor and look awesome, but be modest in that choice, okay? Fair enough. Guys, I can say the same thing. We don't want to see your underwear. We don't want to see you. You don't have to wear muscle shirts all the time. Like, you can help the girls out by not showing off your body as well, you know? All right, self-image. A lot of girls predominantly struggle with self-image, but it's not just a girl thing, okay? Guys often have their self-image wrapped up in stuff that's not God, okay? Sports can be a big one. Academics can be another one. But for girls, it's a big one. So a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's a good one. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's a really good verse there in Proverbs. The world continues to promote sensuality where God emphasizes modesty. We talked about that already. So girls and guys, even if you want to have a really healthy self-image, here's some great scriptures. I'm going to fill them all in real quick for you. Here they are. I am God's workmanship. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am of great worth to God. I am a temple. I'm God's temple. I'm God's child. I'm complete in Christ. In that you don't need a guy to be fulfilled. Okay? Girls, you can be fulfilled with God alone. I am redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am confident that the good work that God has begun in me will be perfected. Yeah. All right, good stuff on self-image there. All right, let me give you a quick summary. All right, here's the deal. Deep down, even the toughest guys, big, tough, macho guys, struggle with self-image too. Okay? And they may not even realize it, but still very different than girls. And some girls are also tempted to have a dirty thought life, but not usually in as many ways as guys do. Okay, so we've got some mutual things in common. A girl may also imagine in her mind that the relationship is more than the guy really thinks it is, and then each person can create a fantasy world in their mind that is not reality. Guard your minds, you guys, against the fantasy, because the fantasy is fake, and people aren't perfect, and bodies aren't perfect, and chasing just the physical stuff is not going to satisfy. Search for friendships that have people of deep character, people who love God, people who are going the same spiritual direction as you, and you will find beauty in them that you never saw, you know? All right, so now we got a funny little video clip called The Sex Talk. So are you ready to laugh? Because this guy's going to make you laugh. All right, Nelly, bring it for us. All right, we got guys and girls. We got some differences between us. We're going to cruise through some stuff, and then we're going to jump to life groups here at about 8:30. All right, so here we go. Guys often can pick up on a weaker self-image and actually prey on girls with weak self-images so that the guy becomes, like, I don't know, a little bit controlling, and he ends up being, like, the one the girl finds value in. So if the guy doesn't like her that day, then she feels horrible, right? Guys, don't be jerks. Don't mess with a girl's self-image like that. That's stupid. That's mean. You're manipulating them. Don't do that. Girls, protect your heart. Don't allow a guy to have the throne of your life. Okay? He can be important, and he can be special, but don't give him the throne. You got that, girls? The throne is meant for Jesus. Keep it that way. Keep it that way. All right, guys from the planet Mars, oftentimes guys will focus on, build them up instead. There you go. Build them up instead. Guys often focus on a girl's physical body, fantasize about physical things, and dream of the wedding night. Okay, these are kind of differences between guys and girls. Girls from the planet Venus often focus on relationships, the guy's heart, okay, and fantasize relationally and about romance and dream of the wedding day. Those would be some differences between guys and girls' thinking. God had a plan from the beginning for a man and a woman. One man for one woman for a lifetime was God's design. Cool verse in Genesis 2. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. All right, did you guys get all that? All right, so I got to dig into my my secret locker back here and pull out some duct tape. Okay, I've got my fluorescent green duct tape. I need three gentlemen that have particularly hairy arms. I'm looking for volunteers. Or hairy legs. We'll take that, too. It's my fault. Okay. I need three more gentlemen. You're not sure how to feel? You should feel honored that you have been chosen as a hairy person. That's good. Chewbacca would totally be proud. Woo! Okay.
That's pretty hard for me.
Oh, okay. Okay, here's my point. Duct tape is good and sticky, right? Which guy got off easy? Why did Logan get off easier than the rest? Because it lost it's losing its stick. Yeah, it didn't stick as good as it did to Devin's arm at the beginning, right? You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Give him a round of applause for being hairy. Nice job. You guys get this. Your sexuality is like that duct tape. You share it with one person first. It's sticky. It sticks. And you have a bond with that person, okay? You sleep with somebody else. You have sex with another person. And over time, you keep doing this. You lose the ability to bond. Are you with me? You lose your stickiness. Your sexuality becomes less special, less important, less protected. Okay? Let me encourage you. God says, look, I want you to have an awesome sex life, but I want you to do it in the confines of a committed marriage. Why? Well, for one, you could have a kid. Okay, and you need to provide a family for that kid. So you need to have a marriage. You need to have a relationship that can sustain the procreation of what sexuality was intended for. Okay, are you with me? It's not just for pleasure. But God's like, look, if you keep sharing your body with people over and over and over and different people and more times, there's something in you that is going to happen. You're going to be able to bond less with people. You're going to your sexuality is going to lose some value. And what God intended was that God intended that the two would become one, right? The two would become one, and the duct tape sticks to itself, right? This will be very messy to pull apart, okay? Probably won't get it to come cleanly apart again. If we try, you're going to end up with part of the other person or a part of the other tape on the other piece, right? This is what God intended marriage to be. He didn't intend it for it to be broken up or separated. He intended it to be final, to be one, to be committed to one another, and that your sexuality is this special, unique, spiritual bond. There's a bond in it that's beyond just the physical pleasure. So be careful with who you share your body with, okay? More than just friends. So the DTR means defining the relationship. Maybe you're going out with somebody and you've never really talked seriously about your relationship. Okay? And so maybe you need to do that. It might be awkward. It might be difficult. But the relationship, is there any future here? Where's the relationship going? Do you just want to be friends? Do you want to keep going out? Exactly. And then have you ever had the talk? And by the talk, I mean this. Have you ever decided to set up physical boundaries with the person you want to go out with? To actually say, hey, these are my standards. This is where I'm at. I know this is awkward, but let's just get it out. Like, I don't want to just accidentally end up having sex with you sometime. I want to actually honor God with my body. And so let's just hold hands. That's it. Or let's just maybe kiss on the lips and that's it. Okay? Or maybe let's just hug and that's the end of the boundary. Maybe you decide. Okay? Or maybe you get some friends and you decide what the boundary is going to be. Okay? Here's the thing. Don't wait until the moment. Your body will take over, and you will not be able to keep your honor, your pledge to God, okay? You guys, check this out. I waited. It was hard. It was difficult. I didn't want to. I waited. I saved my body for my wife, and she did the same for me. And when we got married, we were the first person we'd ever been with, okay? And we shared our bodies with one another. You guys, I would not have made it without Jesus, and I would not have made it without good Christian friends in my life. We dated for 4 years. You're not going to date for that long and be able to have that much self-control. You know, we went to prom in high school. We dated through college. We dated some other people in between, and God kept us together, and that was awesome. But that's not the story for everybody. Some of your leaders have struggled, and that wasn't the case. Some of your leaders in your life groups, they weren't Christian when they were your age, okay? I've had youth group members who've got kids, who had kids in just in youth group. Are you with me? Like, they were dating, and they had a kid, and, you know, just that happens sometimes. But here's the thing. What kind of person do you want to be? And make those decisions now, and find people. Wait on the right person. Find people that are willing to wait as well. Should I even be in this relationship is a good question. Is that person a follower of God? That's another great question. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? We talked about that. Missionary dating is this idea that the other person doesn't know God, but you do, and you're going to make it your job to help them learn how to follow God or become a Christian while you date them. Guys, it doesn't work. Okay, it just doesn't work. There's a silly example of a person who's laying on the ground and the person who's standing on the stage. Okay? If the person on the ground doesn't know God, and I'm the person who knows God, and I'm trying to pull them up, I'm the Christian trying to pull them up to God, gravity's going to take over, and they're going to pull you down. You're going to come to their level more than they're going to come to yours. Does that make sense? You're going to end up compromising your values. So be careful. That usually doesn't work. Have you compromised your standard? I don't know. But we're gonna talk about purity in a few minutes here. Does your relationship make you a better person? This is just some good advice. Find a guy who can be a spiritual leader for you, okay? It doesn't mean that you can't have leadership skills yourself, but find a guy who is going to lead you in a spiritual direction, okay? And guys, look for a girl who can be a spiritual helper or a spiritual challenge, somebody who can challenge you spiritually and help you grow. Remember that iron sharpens iron verse, two friends sharpening one another? Find somebody in your life who can do that. All right, we're just going to cruise through this stuff because there's something else I want to get to. Okay, here's your quick fill-ins. Signs that you're unhealthy might be you're obsessed with the other person. All your relationships are with people of the opposite sex. All you want to do is just meet an emotional need or a physical need. If all the focus of your life is centered on finding the right person instead of God. If your parents don't have peace about the relationship or don't approve, or if the person has a bad relationship with their parents, those are some signs that maybe the relationship's not in a healthy place. This just has a whole bunch of scripture. We're going to kind of cruise through that, and I want to get to this last part. It's important to establish clear boundaries. You guys, this is not a Bible answer, okay? This is an answer from the cartoon character Larry Boy in his superhero costume saying this to you, okay? Not from the Bible, just some practical words of wisdom. You want to save your body for sexual activity when you're married, start with this rule, okay? Hands off the bathing suit zones. People often ask, how far is too far physically? How far can you go with somebody physically before you cross the line to sin? That's going to differ for a lot of people because I don't know what happens in your mind, but it's way, way, way before sex, okay? And this is going to help you. So picture a guy or a girl in a bathing suit, and don't touch or caress or do anything with the parts of those bodies that are covered. That will help you. That will help you. Hard to do, though, when you're attracted to somebody, but Larry Boy says that's a good rule of thumb, okay? You guys know I do premarital counseling. You know what that means? A guy and a girl in our, we've had several people in our youth group date and go off to college, and then they want to get married, and they invite me and say, hey, Larry, would you do our wedding for us and do the ceremony? And then we do some counseling before they get married. I keep this rule in place while they're engaged. Well, why, Larry? Because they're going to get married anyway. Well, here's why. Because you get distracted and you don't focus on what you need to focus on, and you're not preparing yourself for marriage in a healthy way. You're not married yet, so the temptation gets really, really high when you're engaged, right? You've already got a ring and a commitment and all this going on. God still says, wait. So for you guys, hands off. So let me ask you this. Homecoming dance, how many people were violating this rule on the dance floor? Grabbing butts and caressing bodies and rubbing all over each other and doing the nasty or whatever. They're just being bad, right? Horrible stuff going on at some of your dances, okay? All right, we can joke and laugh, right? But people don't honor one another. Be different. Be respectful. All right, you guys, I'm going to cruise through all this stuff, and I want to get to this last part. I know some of you hate not being able to fill it all in. All right, you guys, I want to get to life groups, but I don't want to skip this because it's super, super important, okay? Can I get your attention for 3 minutes? You guys, what we're about to do is not popular. If we took a poll of how many people in your school took a pledge to be pure sexually, I'm thinking like 1%, okay? Not popular. I want to invite you to commit your body to God tonight. Maybe you've already had sex before. Maybe you've done sexual things before. Tonight, you could start over. You could start fresh. And if you haven't done that, awesome. That tonight, that you would make a commitment to God to say, you know what, between you and Jesus, to make a commitment between you and Jesus that you want to save your body sexually for marriage. Okay, that's what it is. And it's broken down on there between you and God, a promise to you and to yourself, to your future husband or wife, to your future kids, to your family now, and to your friends now, that you would say, I'm going to commit myself to be different, to be holy, to be set apart, to be pure. You guys, God doesn't take these kinds of commitments lightly, though. If you're not ready to do this, that's totally okay. Give it some extra thought and some extra prayer. But I'd say, look, if you're willing to commit your body and say, you know what, I'm going to wait. I'm going to do my darndest. I'm going to try. I'm going to find accountability. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to honor God in this way. Then I would ask you strongly, I'm going to pray, and then you can sign that if you want to. Here's how it'll work. You got two. Here's why you have two. One, you're going to sign. You're going to take home tonight. It's yours. The other, you're going to fold it up, put it in the envelope, address it to yourself, and seal it. And then I'm going to mail it to you in 3 or 4 months, just to remind you. You get mail from yourself, okay? I'm not going to read them. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to open them up. I'm not going to decide whether you are cool or not cool based on whether you sign this or not. Honestly, it's between you and God, but I want you to take it serious. So I'm going to pray that you decide in your own heart if you want to sign it or not. Okay, let's pray. God, it is no small thing that you ask teenagers who've got raging hormones to wait. God, we don't even know when we're going to get married or if we're going to get married someday. So this commitment, I understand, is large, maybe larger than ones they've ever made before. But God, I pray anybody here in this room tonight that would say, God, I want a fresh start, or I want to commit my body to you for the first time, to say, I want to wait, and I want to save my body sexually for marriage in the way that you intended. God, would you help me to do that? Would you place good people in my life to help me be able to keep that commitment? God, would you help me have self-control by your Spirit? And would you help me to honor the opposite sex in the relationships that I have in my life? So God, right now, I commit my body to you sexually, and I ask you to help me stay pure. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if that's true for you, if that's something you are open and willing to sign, go ahead and sign both copies, and then put one in your pocket to take home. The other one, you're going to put in that envelope, seal it, lick it, and then write your address on the front. And then why don't you turn those into your life group leaders, and we'll collect them at the end, okay?